Please, if you have your Bibles, do open to Matthew chapter 7. If you do not have a Bible, please, there's a Bible in front of you, under the seat in front of you. There's a Bible under the seat in front of you. God bless you so much. I am most privileged and honored to speak God's word to us today. And Matthew chapter 7, let's come down to 24 to 29. A little bit background into this before I continue reading. This part of teaching is part of the Beatitudes, or you can call it the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus took some good time of preaching to people and touching on almost every aspect of life. And he had been teaching and preaching and speaking, and part of what he preaches, he comes to 24 of chapter 7 and he says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew the beast against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew the beast against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This morning I'm speaking to us on the subject, the rock foundation. The rock foundation. When you look at this passage, Jesus says from the 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock on the rock. It amazes me that there are so many rocks, and I have seen some people title this so many different titles, and some have said rocky foundation and all that. And so I took my time to really just go and research what a rock really is, you know, and what rocky is, because I was initially going to call it a rocky foundation. And from my research, I came to find out that when you say rocky, it means different types of rocks. It's just a rocky surface. Like as we have this plain surface here, we can have so many different rocks here. And so it becomes a rocky foundation, a rocky place. But notice the language that Jesus is using in this passage here. He does not say he built his house on rocks. He does not say the wise man built his house on different rocks. He makes it one. He says the rock. And Jesus is preaching. Jesus had preached about a lot of things. He talks about not going to poke and take the snare from other person's eyes, by you yourself your eyes. He teaches on not casting our pearls before swines. He taught a lot of things on sin. He touched on several subjects. And then he comes to the 24th chapter 7 and he says, everyone that is hearing him in the congregation, in the gathering, in the so many people that are there who are listening to him, those who will take what he was saying and go away with it and begin to implement them into their life are like a wise man who built his house on the rock. On the rock. And which is what leads me to the title of my sermon today, On the Rock, which is the rock foundation. There is one particular rock that Jesus is referring to. And he's saying that if those who are listening to him would take that and go away, there are so many rocks, but there is one rock, one major rock, that if they built their house on that rock, he goes ahead to say that three different types of situations will come against it. The rain came down. So rain will come down, which means there would be some trial that will come from heaven. And some that would, and from heaven means good or bad. There would be, when the rain rains, it has two sides of it, right? There's the positive side of rain. The rain must come down so that the crops are watered. And out of the crops being watered, we get good food. Yeah? Apart from that, the rain must come down so that our dams are filled. You know, every time we open our taps, the water comes from rivers and lakes and stuff like that. And when there is rain in the system, the rivers keep getting filled up. And so we get water to drink. We get water to waste on unnecessary things. Some of us have swimming pools and all that. Water comes to fill it. The rains are also good. Sometimes they come to wash away bad things. You know, sometimes when it had finished raining, you would find that the clouds would become so clear. The rain that is up there had to come down for the clouds to be clear. And so sometimes, in as much as we look at rain in a certain bad, it has its dangerous side as well, there is good that comes out of it. And sometimes the rain spiritually just represents God's blessing on people. And so Jesus is saying that there would be rain. And so when I talk of rain, rain will come. Good will come. And in some cases, bad will also come, because when it rains, sometimes the water is too much. And so he says the streams rose up. And also he talks about a different types of challenge that came against the rock, the house that was on the rock. The streams rose up, which means flood. The streams open up their boundaries, and flood came from the ground, from the soil, from the soil. And sometimes hardships, difficulties also come among people. People that we are seated here looking nice, somebody can wage some unnecessary battle against you. You don't know where it came from. You don't know how you got into trouble with your brother or your sister. And before you realize, you are in some serious trouble on this earth that you didn't go and call for it. And so there is difficulties that come from storms like this. And then he goes to the last one. And the winds blew the beast against it. You see, when you look at these three types, there is only one word that can be used to describe it. A storm. A storm. And one word that can be used to describe these three things is a storm. When we have a serious storm that is coming, sometimes it comes with water, it comes with wind, and the floods, it floods everywhere, it brings water from everywhere, and disaster can happen. I remember when Sandy happened. We used to live in New York City then, and we saw the devastation that happened during Sandy. And so you can imagine, as Jesus is speaking here, he's saying that really that person that builds their house on this rock is really placing themselves in a very advantageous position. Is placing themselves in a very advantageous position. All of this comes against that rock and that house, but nothing happens. And so the question here is, what is the rock then? What is that rock? What is the rock? What is the rock. Psalm 118. First, before I go into it, I want to look at John chapter 1, verse 9. John chapter 1 talks of the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The verse 3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is John chapter 1, verse 1. You can continue to read that passage. It's an amazing passage. But John is beginning to introduce Jesus to the rest of the world. He's writing, and he begins by telling us that that Jesus was in the beginning in heaven. And he came to earth and dwelt among men. And in times like this, in Christmas, it brings memory to who this rock is. You see, Jesus says, before, from beginning, he tells his listeners that everyone that hears his word, as he was standing and he was talking to them, everyone that hears it and takes it and works, take it and implement it in their life, they will be like the person that, the wise man that built their house on the rock. And so Jesus has given us a clue that what he was saying was ultimate. And then by going back to John chapter 1 verse 1, you realize that Jesus is the rock that is being referred to here. And the word of Jesus himself was the word. The word of God is Jesus that was made manifest and dwelt among men. We remember when you look at Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 to 7. I'm going to read it. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 to 7 says that, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to under it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord host will perform this. So we see, as we love this passage as part of our Christmas celebration, I bet you probably in a certain church somewhere, a pastor is preaching on this subject. The rock foundation that Jesus is talking about, he's talking of the word of God. And Jesus himself is manifested as the word. And so Jesus is saying, he is the rock. He is the rock. He is the rock. When you look at Psalm chapter 118, verse 2, King David says, the stone which the builders refused has become the cornerstone of the house. And also 1 Peter 2, 6 to 8 says, for in scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and a precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Verse 7 says, now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And so you see again here, the writer is pointing us again to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the stone. Jesus is whom we need to hold on to. If we can begin to accept this Jesus, if we can begin to yield to him and surrender to the word of God. Many people say, oh, we worship God. Many people say in our generation now, there are so many ways to reach God. Oh, you can call, you can like some tree and worship God through that tree. You can, see a certain water and worship God through this water. But Jesus came and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so when I say a rock foundation, I am here to remind us and to draw our attention to the kind of foundation that we need to build. As Jesus himself is saying here in this passage, we need to begin to build our foundation on Jesus Christ. You see, 2019 is coming to an end. And you might probably be sitting here. Last week, I did talk about preparing us for the year that is ahead. You might have gone and prayed and sought God's face, and God has given you a new year resolution. You might be making your plans for the new year, but I'm here to tell you that for the next year to be successful for you, for the next year to begin to make meaning, for the next year to begin to be a year of breakthrough, a year of stability, a year of peace, you need to build the plans that you are making. You need to begin to have a life transformation, a reformation, a new situation in your life. Something else, somebody else whom you put your trust. You see, many of us might have trusted in a lot of things and we are where we are now. But begin a fresh foundation. You can start by accepting Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. That is the first step. But you see, to build on this rock, I'm just imagining me, myself, finding a rock and deciding that I want to build on this rock. You have done the hard part, which is to accept him as your Lord and your personal Savior. To accept that he's the Son of God that is made manifest for you and I. That he came to dwell among us. He's the Word that has dwelled among us as a human being. And we need to begin to accept him. You have taken the first step. That is you recognizing and observing the rock that you need to build your house on. Your life is your whole livelihood. Everything that you do, who you are, your thinking, your reasoning, your speech, your everything you do must be founded on a very solid ground. And Jesus says that I have to be that solid place, the hard place. And so it comes to this point where you want to build and you choose this rock to build on. While everybody is looking for the comfortable positions in life to build, you are looking for the most difficult place on earth to build. Brothers and sisters, I come from a background where people buy land. They decide where they want to build their houses, they buy the land there, and they hire contractors, and they start building from scratch. They dig into the soil there's a whole process. You put concrete, after the concrete, there's a whole process that they go through until the house is finished. And so as Jesus is speaking to these people, in that time too, that was what was happening. They built their house from scratch. And he tells them that you got to build on a rock. What kind of a wicked person is this? They're probably thinking it's a very difficult thing to build on a rock. It is not easy. You first have to climb up the rock. And when you have climbed up that rock, you now have to begin digging into the rock. And as an architect, he keeps sitting there nodding his head. It's not an easy place to build. But Jesus is saying that it is the most secured place to build. Jesus is saying, I am the most secured place for you to base your life, to have your essence of living, to have your essence of livelihood, to have your essence of survival. I am the most comfortable place that you can find. But it is not easy. It is not easy. Everything Jesus teaches, everything God's word teaches us, is not comfortable for the human being like you and I. Because God is spirit. God is spirit. God's ways are not natural to human ways. Because we are not, as you see, you and I, we are not created to survive in God's world. And so that which might come easy to God will not come easy to you and I. And Jesus is saying that the things that I'm teaching you, living a life of holiness, a life of purity, a life of surrenderness to God, is not comfortable. Because you have your way. You have the way you want to live your life. You have things you want to do. You have your plans. But Jesus is saying, you got to put all that aside and build it upon what I have got to say. Your decisions must be based on God's word. Your thinking must be based on God's word. Your actions must be based on God's word. And so how do I do this? Maybe you are sitting amongst the congregation. Maybe you are here and you are thinking, yes, Pastor, I have got it. That Jesus is the firm foundation. Jesus is the rock. Jesus, yes, I accept that. But how do I build upon him? A few things I want to draw our attention to. And Jesus himself states it as he writes, those who hear him and take what he's saying. Those who hear him and take what he's saying. We must go back to knowing the rock. We must go back to understanding how the rock is. You see, if you don't know the rock that you are digging in, you will use the wrong tools, you will use the wrong method, you will use the wrong strategy to dig. This is why it is important for you and I to begin to pick up the Bible. His word. His word. It starts from there. I'm making decisions for 2020. What does the Bible say about the decisions that I want to make? I want to marry a young girl. What does the Bible say about the lifestyle or that person that I want to marry? Oh, I got a new job. I like it. Oh, it's going to give me good money. What are the ethoses of the company? How am I expected to operate when I take on this responsibility? We need to begin to take the word of God. He says that those who hear and they obey, they are like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Begin to study God's word. You know, we have to pass the place of reading God's word or having the Bible app read God's word to us. It is good. I mean, when I'm driving in my car, I like to play the Bible. And I'm driving and I'm hearing stuff. I'm like, oh, wow, seriously, they did this. And sometimes I'm repenting and I'm like, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Look at what is happening here. It's good that way. Sometimes I'm lying in my bed and I play the Bible, you know, and I reflect on what is going on. And sometimes I fall asleep listening to it. It is good. You see, the Christian must go beyond hearing God's word like that. We have to begin to study the word of God. The Apostle Paul says, I study the word to show yourself approved unto God. First unto God. You got to know God's word inside out. Take the Bible and sit down and break it down. You see, to study is to take a careful look at something. Many of us are not taking a careful look at God's word. And so, when the storms come, when the hardships come, we are shaken. Because the rock that we were supposed to build on, we don't know it. We haven't even reached the place of being able to dig deep into the rock. Some of us are still on the surface of scratching the sand off the rock. We haven't even dug into the stone yet. We haven't started cutting into the stone. We haven't hit the rock yet. We are still pushing the sand, the comfort part. But we have to begin to go deep to hit the rock itself. You see, sometimes the child of God wants to really, really build on the rock, but it is not easy. That is why knowing the word of God alone is not easy. Knowing the word of God alone is not enough. If I know the word of God, if I know Jesus, oh yes, Pastor Burns, I want to take the Bible and I'm going to begin to read my Bible. I'm going to begin to study the Bible. I'm going to, I have a study system and all that. And you begin to study the Bible and you, oh my God, this is so good. Now I'm getting to know Jesus. Oh, look at what Jesus did here. Oh, it is written. It is written. And now you begin to live the life of the believer. Oh, it is written. The Bible says this. The Bible says that. You see, that is really good. That is what you're supposed to be as a child of God. But there is the next part, which is prayer. Which is prayer. Building on this rock is not easy. But that is why you need to begin to yield and surrender to Him. I like King David. King David, among the so many psalms he wrote, has written one psalm that I want to read to you. Psalm 138. It's only 8 verses. He says, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surprises your fame. It surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from far. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hand. This is David writing this psalm here. He's praying and he's exhorting and listening to his words. Many Christians are going through difficulty. We are going through hardships. But we have so little prayer in our life. You see, prayer allows you to break down at God's feet. It is a sign of humility. When you come to this place where you are saying, Lord God, I need you. He knows you can't do the digging on your own. He knows you can't go it all alone. And so he says that you should come to him. The Lord says that call on me and I will answer. He says you should again bring all these trials to him. All the challenges to him. You're trying to dig and you can't dig. He says that he knows you can't do it on your own. But he says come anyway. Maybe you have dug and you have reached a certain point that you feel like you should give up. It's become so hard. Your life doesn't seem to have a turning. You don't know what to do. You are confused. You don't know how to even break through the next stage of your phase, of your life. Next year is coming. You don't even know how you are going to make it. You are not supposed to know it all. You are supposed to bring it to the one that knows it all. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus. He was given to us. A and the foundations of the earth are supposed to be on his shoulder. You remember the passage I read, Isaiah. He is supposed to be the Prince of Peace, the Comforter, the Encourager. The God that he is supposed to be is supposed to make you be a very comfortable person. And if you and I can yield to him like this, begin a lifestyle of surrendering to him, he will begin the process of helping you dig. But you see, he has not left you and I alone to dig in our own strength and in our own might. God says, it is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit. You see, you need to be strengthened. You need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. The building on this rock is not a might. It's not hard work. It's not something you have to do in your own strength. Jesus knew this. And so before he left this earth, he told his disciples that they should wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon them, who will give them strength. He says that he will empower them to be his witnesses. He will empower you to be able to live for Jesus. He will empower you to be able to understand the word of God. He will empower you to be able to live the life of the Spirit being, the Holy Spirit. Many of us do not have the Holy Spirit being active in our life. When you pray, it is part of what you do. You yield and you ask him to come in and help you, strengthen you, encourage you, and teach you. You see, many of us might have sunk already. Maybe you started by, you see, when you look at the passage that we read, there were two wise people. There were two people. One was wise by building on the solid ground. The other was not wise, and he built on the sand. On the sand, so when the storms came, it was easy for that person's house to be blown away. Maybe you started and you built on the sand, on a shifting ground. You have started your life by disobedience to God, by not allowing Jesus' word to penetrate in your heart. Maybe you've made so many silly mistakes. When you look at your life, you can say that, man, I am full of mistakes. You've messed up so badly, you have sunk, basically. You are drowning. You are just holding on, seeking for some wood to hold on. You see, Jesus has not still given up on you and I. He has not given up. God has still not given up on you and I. That is even why Jesus came in the first place. That is why we have Christmas, to remember that hope has come. To remember that Jesus has been born. The Savior, the Redeemer has been born. And in this period, as we remember Christmas, it should be a reminder to you that whatever mistake you have in your life, however messed up you are, whatever family you were born into, whatever situation you have found yourself, whatever title you have, whatever record you have, maybe you have a criminal record and you feel that you can't go anywhere with that record. Or maybe you are abandoned. There is even a title on you. Oh, this one is the fornicator, or this one is the gossip, or this one. You have so many mistakes you have made. Jesus has not given up on you. Do you remember when Peter was sinking in the water? Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter looked at Jesus and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And the Lord said, come. And Peter got on this water, comfortably walking, and the word of God says that there was a storm that was blowing his way. He looked at it, and suddenly his focus went on the storm, but not on the one that has called him to come. You see, many of us have forgotten that Jesus has called us. He reached out to us first and he said, come, follow me. Follow me. Come to me, all ye that labor. I am making the initiative of reaching out to you. And Jesus is calling you today. He's standing, calling you. He says, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up their door, I will come in and dine with them. And so Jesus is reaching out. He has reached out. And wherever you are, however place you are, whatever difficulty, whatever storm it is that you are battling, it is probably hitting hard against you and you are sinking or you have sunk. You are just waiting. You are just waiting. I want to encourage you today that Jesus reached out his hand and he still held Peter and he pulled him out. May you remember that Jesus is capable of pulling you out of your situation, out of your circumstance, out of your mess. Jesus can do something to you. Just call out. Begin to call out, Lord Jesus, I need you. Peter didn't allow himself to sink. Peter said, Lord! Lord! And maybe you need to scream and yell and call on Jesus. Pray, call, and he will hear you. He will answer you. And he will empower you. He will empower you by his Holy Spirit to be able to dig. To be able to dig. To be able to dig. He knows he has given you the assignment and he has made a way for you. He has made a way for you. And so you can now begin to walk with him. You can now begin to build upon him. You can now begin to journey with him. Child of God, it is not enough to know the word. It is not enough to pray. Also, the word of God says that we should be doers of the word and not hearers. Many of us, you see, I like the way you are listening to me and nodding your heads. When you get up from here, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you get out of this room? Go home. Sit down. Reflect on your life. Ask yourself, where can I begin? Make changes. Make decisions. There are some people you need to delete their numbers off your phone. When I say it, people are like, man, isn't God about relationship? Why should I cut this person? You see, Satan will give you excuses. He says that seek first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness. Seek first. Many people forget the word of God. Jesus is speaking to these people. To build on the rock foundation is tough. It's hard. Seek first. So if somebody is in your life, if there is something in your life that is not allowing you to honor Jesus, that is not allowing you to be about Jesus, then that person, you need to begin to reflect on it. The relationship, where should it be? If it has come down to you between that person and Jesus, what are you going to do? Between that thing and Jesus, what are you going to do? Don't allow Satan to give you excuses. Make decisions. Walk by the word of God. Now you know the word. Decide to walk by the word of God and pray, asking him to strengthen you, give you the grace to walk by the word. Don't be Noah. I love it when people quote the scriptures when I start to quote them. I'll be having a meeting somewhere and then the word, the Lord God will drop a word. As I quote it, the person also quotes it. And they're like, oh yes, I know this. And I'm sitting there thinking, why don't you implement the word? Why are you living in sin and always making excuses for your sins? Why am I living in sins? Jesus is saying, if you and I do not stop the lifestyle, the evil lifestyle, the sinful lifestyle that we are living, we are building on sand, which is not able to stand when storms come. You know what sin does? Sin just makes you lose your confidence in God. When you want to pray, when you want to believe, when you want to operate on faith, Satan will remind you of that sin you committed. And so you are always like, oh my God, I can't even come before God because I'm this, I did that, I'm going, and it is good. When you are praying, you want to bind a certain demon, then the memory will come. Did you forget where you were last night? So now you can't bind the demon. It has made you lose your confidence in your relationship with Jesus. But Jesus wants you to remember that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness and begin this righteous journey with you. Repent. Turn away from your sin and begin afresh with Jesus. Start to implement the word. When you don't know, research, seek the word, pray, ask him, and he will show you, he will lead you, and obey. You are making your plans for next year. Maybe, look, storms will come. Like I said, rain will come. We will be wet, fine, the anointing will come. And there will also be storms, difficult times. But in the times of difficulty, it is that which you know of God. It is the relationship with God that will determine how far you go. And so begin by making some changes. Begin by making decisions to walk in obedience, walk in humility, walk in love, and ask him to take full charge of your life. Child of God, God bless you. And then finally, when you look at the last part of this story that is told here and what Jesus is saying, 28 to 29, the writer says, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You see, he taught them as one having authority. Jesus has the authority. Jesus' name is the most exalted name. Because he went to the cross, at that time on earth, he had authority. It wasn't enough. Now, as he has died and resurrected, his name is the highest name ever. The word of God says, at the mention of his name, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. And guess what? This authority, he says he has given it to you and I. The authority that Jesus carried in those days, now he has given it to you and I, the believer. And so if we begin to build upon him, if we begin to stand upon him, we stand in a position of authority and power to be able to transform situation, to be able to speak to situation, to be able to speak to... You see, when you know that where you are standing is solid, that is also why in battle, if you understand the history of battle, any military person, any military commander will look for a higher place to be. Because once you have the higher place, you can begin to wage war from a higher place to a lower place. You and I must begin to wage war. It's not enough to be pampered. The next level is to begin to take authority. And the better place, the most efficient place to take authority is on the rock of your foundation. 2018 will be a year of fruitfulness, a year of power and authority. If you can just begin. Sorry, 2020. Hallelujah. Thank you, my dear brother. You see, I love people like that. I love people like that. He's looking out for me. Because this is being recorded. People will listen to it and they will laugh at me. But by God's grace, I thank God for the calling in this house, that I may not disgrace myself. Thank you. Now let me say it well before I finish. In 2020, I tell you that you shall be in control. You shall control situation. You shall be in authority because your foundation would have been Jesus. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord favor you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. And in your decisions making, may he begin to control. May he begin to guide. And may any plan of the enemy concerning your life be bound in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you. And Father, we exalt you. We magnify you and we lift you up. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.